you down. God will always give you what you need. You know, no matter what situation you may be facing in your life, if you know your heart belongs to Jesus Christ, he will speak directly into your mind and into your heart. And you're always going to have the guidance that you need so that you're never going to feel lost. As a believer who trusts and believes in God, we know he will always show himself to be mighty, faithful, and true. Amen? Well, let me go ahead. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time, knowing, Father, this time is not about us. It's all about you, Lord. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for your holy presence in this very place. As we know, your angels are here. They're here to minister more of your holy presence. And we pray, Lord, as we truly decrease right now, will you increase in every way? As our hearts, our souls, our spirits are fully submitted to you, Father, I know that truly you love us so much and you desire nothing of your very best for us. Father, we just come like little children, just waiting and sitting at your feet, Father, and waiting for you to speak directly into our lives. Father, we want to place this time all into your hands. May your name be magnified. May your name be glorified. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all of these things. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So we're continuing our series called Extremely Dangerous Prayers. And we're now on part 11. And it is called Paul's Prayer of Abounding Love. And it's found in Philippians chapter 1. And you know, when you read Paul's letters, if you're familiar with all his letters to all the different cities like Ephesus and Philippi and all that, right? We know all his letters to his fellow Christians in all these different cities were written with such great heart, right? You feel his heart. You feel the love. You feel the concern for his brothers and sisters who are in the faith. And it's amazing to see how his heart had changed from one of great hatred for them, right? Because remember, at one point, he was persecuting them. At one point, he was killing them. And now what? You read his letters. You know his heart is filled with so much love and compassion. You know it's real. You know it's genuine. And why? Because he had an encounter with Jesus. When he met with Jesus, oh, everything just changed. And you can read about it, and you know with that encounter, he now is a totally different man. And you know, as he writes these letters to his fellow Christians, you know, a lot of these Christians, they depended on him to get these churches started in their cities. And now he's writing these letters to all these different churches in these different cities. And you can just sense how much he longs to be with them, how much he longs just to desire just to fellowship with them, just to hear from their hearts. I want you to listen to this. This is in Philippians chapter 1. This is not in your notes. Just listen to what he says in this letter to them. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all of God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion unto the day of our Lord Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Wow, you feel his love? I'm reading this. I'm getting chicken skin here. I just sense just that passion, the love that Paul had for his fellow Christians. And verse 9, it's in your notes. It says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Wow. That's a powerful prayer, and we're going to discuss why it is. It's such an extremely dangerous prayer. And there's a question. Why is Apostle Paul's prayer in Philippians 1 an extremely dangerous prayer? An extremely dangerous prayer in the sense that, you know, as he is calling on the Lord to just let his blessings come, let his power come upon his fellow Christians, you know God's going to do something awesome. God's going to do something mighty and powerful. I want you to look at point number one. It says there, Paul is praying for an abundant increase of God's love in a believer's heart. Not just a little bit. Paul says, let it be overflowing. Let there be a great abundance of love in their hearts. And once again, let's read it together now. Philippians 1:9. Ready? Go. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in what? Knowledge and depth and insight. Okay, first of all, we got to understand something here. As believers, we have to understand that God's love that is where? Inside of us is very different from the world's concept of love. You got to understand that. We love in a way that we know it's not just our own human love. It is the very love of God. And think about this. What does God do with his love? Well, let's read Romans 5:5 together. Ready? Go. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been what? Poured out where? Into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It has been what? Poured out. It's poured out. I mean, there's an overflow of God's love. If you know that your heart belongs to Jesus Christ, you're in his word daily, you're praying, you're seeking him, guess what? There is an outpouring of God's love that should be in your heart. And it is given through who? The Holy Spirit, right? And he's going to constantly let it overflow in your heart as you seek him daily, as you yearn to be in the presence of God. The only way we can increase God's love inside of us, guess what? We got to decrease. Remember, we talked about this verse several weeks ago where John says, I want you to increase, but I must what? Decrease. And we got to get lower and lower and let God be the one that gets higher and higher and increase more and more. And we got to let God's love take over in how we love each other. Because if we just love with our own human love, can we fail? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, we can. Don't say, oh, because, but you don't understand. I'm such a loving person. Well, that's good. If you are, but remember, it's about God's love inside of you that will truly desire to love the way God loves us. And your love will be the kind of love that is not like the world, okay? And when we have a deeper understanding, right, that's why he says about that the love that Paul wants for the believers, that it will increase in more what? Knowledge and depth of insight, okay? So when we get this deeper understanding of what God's love is all about, we're going to love like we've never loved before. I mean, truly, for the person who just, let's say, received Christ and they never experienced loving with the love of God, when they truly understand it, they have great depth and great insight, guess what? They realize how deep the love of God is. It's the highest form of love, because we know God's love has to do with what? Sacrifice. And did God sacrifice for us? What did he sacrifice? His son, right? And he shed his blood on the cross because of his love for us, so that he took our place, so that we could be once again reunited, reconnected with the Father in spirit. I want you to look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I know you're familiar with this verse because, you know, this verse is used often, right? In the sermons and in teachings. But let's read it together. Ready? Go. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am what? I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain what? Nothing. Wow, you can do all these wonderful things, but if you do not what? you do not love, guess what? You are nothing. And this is why Paul emphasizes about the very fact we must have the love of God so deep and strong inside of us. And you know, oftentimes we may think, right, because we've done something for someone, that's enough to show our love. Okay, I want you to understand, it's important. We have to show by our actions, right, to someone that we really love them. That's important. But think about this, right? For example, let's say a parent may say to his or her child, hey, come on, you know that I love you. I provide food and clothing for you. I provide a roof over your head, right? I buy you things that you need. I buy you things that you want. You know that I love you. But what does a child say? No, you don't love me. You never had. I never felt your love. And I've seen this, right? And I don't know if as a parent you've ever heard that, but you know, the parent, you know, may become frustrated, right, and confused and wonder, where did I go wrong? I did all these things for this child, yet this child says, I don't love him. And what the parent needs to understand is that with true godly love, it is not so much what you did, because that's important too, right, by actions, right? It's more who you are in God's love that is of the greatest importance. What do I mean by that? Well, to clarify my point, I want to continue on verse 4, okay? And I know you know these verses about what love is, okay? So why don't you read it with me? Ready? Go. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. So first of all, okay, if we were to replace, you know, where all the parts where it says love, right? Love is patient. Love is kind, right? Let's say we replace that word love with God. Would that work out? Well, so let's just say, okay, we did that, right? So why don't you read it with me, okay? So this time where you see where there's love or it, you know, we're going to replace that with God, okay? So let's read it together. Ready? Go. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God does not dishonor others. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects. God always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That sounds like God, right? When you say that is God consistently in all these things, you would say, yeah, definitely, yes, right? Now, if you remember earlier, right, we learned that the love of God is where? It's inside of us, right? It's in our hearts. So if we put, can we do this? Our name. Oh, where love is, right? Would you say, absolutely no problem, right? Or would you have great difficulty? Well, okay, let's try it. Okay, just try it. And this time we're going to say it again, but this time put your name. Okay, let's say it slowly. Okay, oh, come on, it's all right. Just let the Holy Spirit show things to you as you say this. Ready? Put your own name. Ready? Go. Ben is patient. Ben is kind. Ben does not envy. Ben does not boast. Ben is not proud. Ben does not dishonor others. Ben is not self-seeking. Ben is not easily angered. Ben keeps no record of wrongs. Ben does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Ben always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Okay, how was that? Okay, everyone take a deep breath. And some of us would say, I can say that, and my spouse would say the same thing with no problem, right? Oh, come on, be honest, right? But we know, you know, sometimes we know we can look at something like this and we can say, yeah, that's me. Or we can say, oh, man, that's nothing like me. It's okay to be honest. Because when you know, maybe you can say, yeah, I have trouble saying this because I know I struggle. What do? You ask God for help. You have to be honest, because I'll be honest, I struggle with some of these things sometimes too. But that's why I know I need Jesus more and more. I must decrease so that he may increase. Amen? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, me and John Lee, we used to do premarital counseling at another church. And to tell you, you know, sometimes we have this as an exercise for the couple, you know, who are fiancés. And we ask them, you know, to say their name first, right? And then we tell them to say each other's name. And you can see they're looking at each other and they're kind of like, they're like, almost like, you know, feeling so uncomfortable. But we say, oh, it's okay, you know, because this is a start, right? We need to, you know, address it. Because the very fact is, right, if you know you're struggling with the other person and you're not even married yet, it has to be dealt with now. And this is where we got to understand, we got to have the love of God so deeply rooted in our hearts. It's not just about your own human love. It's about the love of Christ that is so deep within you. Because when the love of God is so abundant and evident in your life, you're always going to choose love regardless of your situation. You know, regardless of how, you know, your situation is to the point where you're just stressed out, you're maxed out. You know, you're still going to demonstrate the love of God. And you're going to know that it is unlike any other love that is in this world. And you're going to love in a way that the world's going to look at you. They're going to go, are you crazy? You're still going to love? Even though this person is giving you so much hardship and all this, right? You realize, no, because of the love of God in you, you're still going to what? Love with the love of Christ. You know, I once read about this man who was a Baptist pastor during the American Revolution. His name was Peter Miller, okay? And he lived in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. And he was a wonderful friend of George Washington. We know George, right? I mean, he's a general and he was the president, right? So in Ephrata, there also lived a man named Michael Whitman, who was a heathen. He was an atheist and he hated Christians and he opposed Christianity and desired to shut down Pastor Miller's church, okay? And so one day, Michael Whitman was arrested for treason. You know what treason is? It's when you betray the government and you side with the enemy, okay? And so he was sentenced to die. He was sentenced to be executed. So Pastor Peter Miller, right, you know what he did? He traveled 70 miles on foot to Philadelphia to plead for the life of this traitor. What would you do? Okay. You know what General Washington said? He says, no, Peter, I cannot grant you the life of your friend. The old preacher, he looked up at George Washington and he says, my friend? He's the bitterest enemy I ever had. And George Washington, he cried out, what? And he says this, I'll grant your pardon. And he pardoned this guy. This is a true story. Why? Because he showed a love like no other. Mercy and love and grace, right? And Peter Miller, that day, took Michael Whitman back home to Ephrata. No longer an enemy, but what? A great friend. You see, this is the kind of love that we can do with our own human love. Remember, the Bible says God pours it out into your heart. When you accepted Christ into your heart, God pours his love so deeply into your heart that you're not able to love with your own love anymore. If you really know Jesus Christ, you're going to love in ways like you never, ever loved before. Because God's love is taking over. Amen? And that's what the beauty of it is. When you can have this kind of love that's growing each and every day, like how Paul prayed for, right? All of your relationships will be blessed. You're not going to have trouble with people to the point where you're so sensitive. You're always picking fights. You're always going to see how God's love will fill you up. Amen? I want you to look at Luke 6, 32 to 33. Look what Jesus says here. Ready? Go. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. Wow, Jesus is saying, what credit is to you, right? You can say, oh, I love people, but only if they love me. Jesus says, what good is that? God says, I want your love to go deeper. I want your love to go stronger in your heart and soul, because you're going to realize it is the love of God that has taken over your own human love. And that's what we need to do. Amen. We got to believe that it is the love of Christ that will take over as we just look to God in every situation. I want you to look at number two. It says, Paul earnestly prayed that with God's love, they would be able to what? Discern. You ever heard that word? Discern God's best in their lives. I want you to read Philippians 1:10 with me. Ready? Go. So that as you increase in God's love, you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So first of all, we need to discuss what does it mean to discern, to have discernment. Christian author Joseph Stowell, he defines discernment as follows. He says, discernment in Scripture is the skill that enables us to differentiate what is right and what is wrong, right? It is the ability to see issues clearly. He says, we desperately need to cultivate this spiritual skill that will enable us to know what is right from wrong. We must be prepared to distinguish light from darkness, truth from error, best from better, righteousness from unrighteousness, and purity from defilement. So where do we get this kind of discernment? Well, it has to come from where? The Word of God, right? It has to come from the Scriptures as you meditate on them, as you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through His Word. And when we have this increase of God's love in our lives to discern what is of God's best to us, we're not going to be deceived, okay, into believing what the world believes, especially when it concerns our relationships with the people that's in our lives. You know, I got to tell you, you know, years ago, you know, John Lee and I, we did premarital counseling for another church. And like I mentioned earlier, and we actually heard couples make statements like this. They actually said that to us. They said things like, you know, because here's the thing. Some couples, they come, right, and they're already fighting. And they're not even married. And they're like constantly bickering. And me and John Lee looking at them. Oh, you're not even married yet. Oh, you know, and this is what they say. Well, they tell us this. Well, if it's truly the fact that we still don't get along after we're married, we can always do like everybody else. We just get a divorce. And we kind of looking at them. Are you kidding me, right? And we tell them, you know, if you get this kind of attitude, if you have this attitude right now, you're not ready for marriage, because guess what? You know what marriage is called? It's called holy matrimony. It's holy unto God. Amen? It's called holy matrimony for a reason, because we know it is ordained by God. It is what God has brought together. And the Bible says, what God has brought together, let not man what? Separate. Because they're joined in union in spirit, right? As they say these vows, we know it is God that will let their spirit be unionized, I guess you can say, where they're in unity in spirit. And that's why we know that's so important. We are not to take marriage lightly. You know, I mean, we have to understand that God, He wants us to be forever together. If you're a husband and wife, God wants you to be forever together. And you got to understand, sometimes it takes the one person to humble themselves, so that they once again can come together, be reconnected. Because when both people, right, are full of pride and don't want to admit they're wrong, guess what? It's never going to get better. And sooner than you know it, yeah, they might just end up getting a divorce. And that's why when God's love has increased in you, your love will not stay superficial. Because you know what? It's so easy to just let your love stay superficial. It takes work. I know this, right? Whatever relationship you may have with your spouse, with your friends, with your children, it takes time, right? You got to be willing to put in the time and the effort. I want you to look what it says here in 1 Peter 4, chapter 8. Look what Peter says here. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Most important of all, continue to show what? deep love for each other, for love cover a multitude of sins. And you know, with God's love ever so increasing now inside of you, guess what? When you have more and more of God's love that is growing inside of you, you tend to overlook the offenses. It covers a multitude of sins. Suddenly you're not so sensitive. You know, suddenly you realize, you know what? I know God's love is increasing in me. So I'm not going to let this affect me. I'm not going to let what that person said get to me. That's why it says it will cover a multitude of sins. It's when you have what? Deep love. You know, did you know this fact? There is one day in every year that many lawyers, they call this day Divorce Day. What day do you think that is, right? Well, you know what it is? I read about this. It is the first Monday of every January. And many married couples, right, who can't stand each other, right, they seek to get a divorce. And, you know, the couples apparently want to spend one last Christmas with each other to see if things will work out. This is a true fact, right? And if they don't, right, they will usually wait to the first Monday of January to seek legal counsel. So then they go see a lawyer and all that. And lawyers say that's the busiest day of the year. Can you imagine that, right? And some law firms have reported a 25% increase of divorces since January of last year, 25%. And 40% of these cases admitted that it had to do with financial difficulties. And usually that's what it is, right? And that's why we got to understand, God sent his son, Jesus, into the world so that we might have access to a love that is more powerful than human limitations or human flaws. It is more powerful than financial pressures, more powerful than death itself. Jesus was sent into the world because of love. And we have access to this love when we receive Christ into our hearts. We have access to it. And when we can say, Lord, it's not my love anymore. It's your love. And I want your love to grow deeper and stronger in me so that I will not make myself to be such a difficult person anymore. That I'm going to love with the very love of Jesus Christ. And we know the love of God inside of us will always give us the discernment to know what is of God and what is of the world. When we do choose to follow God's ways, guess what? We will always have God's best to come forth. This is what we call discernment. If God's love is overruling our own human love, you're always going to love in a way that is deep. Because, you know, superficial love, you're going to see your relationship just always fading away. It's like you get a little bit offended. Okay, I'm not going to talk to that person anymore. It just kind of like flutters away. You make relationships, it just flutters away. We got to understand our love got to go deep. So deep, no matter how offended you are, you know God's love will cover a multitude of sins. Amen? And you're going to see how your relationships will be so blessed in every way. It's because you're loving with the love of God. And with God's love, we're always willing to go the extra mile for someone else. This is what true love is all about, true godly love. I want you to read with me what Romans 14, 19 says here. Ready? Go. Let us therefore make what? Every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. And that's why, what does it say? Some effort? Every effort. And that's why, you know, sometimes, you know, Johnny and I will counsel couples and we ask them, so what did you do? And, you know, they will say, well, we did a lot. And we say, so give us some examples. And they can't think of anything. Seriously, the Bible says we got to make every effort, right? And you got to ask the Holy Spirit, what must I do? If you know that you are, you know, a person who has a lot of pride, ask God to humble you. Say, Lord, humble me so that I will make those efforts to bring forth change so that you can bless my relationship. Amen? Because that's what it says. Make every effort to bring peace and mutual edification. Mutual edification meaning that both parties, right, are being edified. Both parties are being lifted up, not being shut down. They're being lifted up. as you talk with each other, you're humbling each other, and you're humbling yourselves. And that's where you're going to have restoration. You're going to have God's power coming in to make that relationship better. I want you to look at point number three now. It says, Paul's prayer expressed a heartfelt wish for his fellow believers that their lives would be truly, would truly display God's character that is consistent in what they believe. So in other words, what does this mean? Paul was praying for them that they, if they are truly going to talk the talk, right, they must what? You heard that before, right? You got to walk the walk. Okay, let's read what it says here first in Philippians 1:11. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. So he says, may your life be filled with the fruit of your salvation. The fact that you are saved, right? It should be that there is fruit. Okay, because there had maybe one point in your life there had been no fruit because you didn't believe in God. You didn't do things God's way. There was no fruit. But because you are saved, you know if Christ really lives inside of you, yeah, you're experiencing great fruit. You're experiencing the blessings of God. And what is that fruit? Well, it says the righteous character that was produced in your life by who? By Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ brought it forth because you decided that I'm not going to live the same way like I once did. Because you know what? It is so easy, right, to tell people that God has changed your heart, right? That you're a brand new person in Jesus Christ. Now that Christ has made his way into your heart, right? It's more than just saying that. You got to show it, right? And I know, you know, sometimes I got to stop and I got to say, to the Lord, Lord, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I showing your love? If I'm not, will you reveal it to me? Will you speak to me? And every one of us need to go to the Lord like that. Because if we think we got it all together, that, oh yeah, I'm perfect. Yeah, I'm always showing God's love. I'm always, you know, doing what, you know what? You're never going to grow. You got to ask the Holy Spirit to show it to you. Amen? To reveal it to you. And you will grow as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Because if there is no consistency in how you live your life, you know, people may even question whether or not you belong to Christ. You know, I remember when I truly found God in my life, because there are a lot of times I stumbled, a lot of times I even, you know, backslided as a young Christian. You know, not until the point where I said, Lord, I surrender my heart to you, and I want to live for you, and I mean that, Lord. I was just telling God, I really want to live for you. You know, I remember, I almost immediately gave up a lot of the sinful things that I was doing in my life, you know, like heavy drinking and partying and cursing and swearing like a drunken sailor. You know, I remember I had to stop and I asked the Lord, just help me to stop. I just don't want to do it. And I remember I did. And my, you know, my college drinking buddies at that time, right, they said, you know, they were telling people, yeah, Ben is changing. You know, something has happened to Ben. They saw the change in me. But, you know, once in a while I would slip up. Right, I would stub my toe, and you know, out comes a dirty word from my mouth. Right, and you know, my unbelieving friends, they were very unforgiving when I did things like that. They would make a comment like, "Wow, what kind of Christian are you? I knew you wasn't a true Christian," and you go, "Oh, you know." And the only thing I can say, right? Oops, I'm so sorry. You know, but you know, I know we'll slip up sometimes, but you know, we make it right with the Lord. Once again, right? Don't be so hard on yourself. Just say, you know, okay, I slipped up and I'm sorry, right? But, you know, I remember my dad, you know, when he was in his 20s, he decided to go to this Christian church that was close by his house at that time, right? So my dad, he loved to play sports. So when he got invited by some of the guys in this church, right, to play baseball, he was so excited. He accepted the invitation, right? And he said he had so much fun with them, right? And afterwards, they all gathered around this park bench table just to shoot the breeze. And he said, I think he kind of mentioned there was one guy who just said a prayer, right? And my dad was telling me, you know what, it seemed like there were such a bunch of nice guys. And he thought to himself, I really want to get to know them better. I want to get more acquainted with them. Suddenly, one of them opened their mouth and everything went downhill from there. He was talking inappropriately about some of the women in the church. Not good stuff, right? Very bad stuff. And started to engage in heavy gossip. And you know, my dad, he said when he saw them in their true light, right, he was very turned off. And guess what? He never went back to church again. Not just that church. He never went back to any church because he was so turned off. And not until his mid-70s, right, my brother and I, we just talked. I remember my brother and I, we talked to him for like a couple of hours, I think. And we witnessed to him, and he accepted Christ. Praise God. You know, he accepted Christ into his heart. But we got to learn from this. We can affect people like that. We got to make sure we're setting a good example for Christ, because I can fail. You can fail. And we got to realize we have to need Jesus more and more every day to help us. Don't ever say, oh, I've come to that point where I can do it on my own. No, don't say that. Please don't say that. Realize we need Jesus more than ever. It should be every single day of your life. Go to God with such a dependency on him. Amen? And he will show himself to you. He will help you. He will show you what you need to do to become more like him. And we got to realize as Christians, the world is watching us. And oftentimes, you know, they may be looking for the light of Christ in us to defeat the very darkness that has a tight grip upon them. And we may be the only Jesus that they may see. And we got to make sure if they know that we are a Christian, we show them the light of God. Amen? More importantly, we show them the love of Christ. We show it to them. And we let them know that they are loved. God loves them and we love them. I want you to look what it says here in Matthew 5, 15 to 16. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light what? Shine before others. Because if you try to hide it, guess what? You put a bowl over a candle, right? Is the candle still lit? Well, it probably will stay lit for a while, right? But if you take it out, it'll illuminate the entire place. And we got to make sure our light that God has put in us is illuminating. It's just not self-contained, you know? We got to make sure it is illuminating the world. Not our light. It's God's light inside of us. Because when our light is shining brightly before others, you know, we can be assured that, guess what? Miracles will take place. The presence of God will be strong wherever you go. You know, years ago, you know, the communist government in China commissioned this author to write a biography of Hudson Taylor. You guys heard of Hudson Taylor, right? A great, well-known missionary from the States, right, that went to China. He started so many churches, so many mission houses. You know, he was such a influential person, you know, when it concerns spreading the gospel of Christ, you know. And this author, right, he had the purpose of distorting the facts and presenting Hudson Taylor in a bad light. That was his job. The government said, you got to write something nasty about him. Tell everyone how bad he is, how what a terrible person he is and all that, right? So they wanted to discredit the name of this great missionary of the gospel. And here's the thing. As the author was doing his research, right, he interviewed people, you know, he talked to others, he read other writings, other articles about, you know, Hudson Taylor. And you know what? He was increasingly impressed by Taylor's saintly character and godly life. So much so, he found it extremely difficult to carry out his assignment task with a clear conscience. Because he realized as he talked to others, he was a true man of God. He didn't just call himself a Christian and made himself known as a Christian by name only. No, he went out. He touched people's hearts. He helped those who were in great need. He showed the love of Christ. And people had so many good things to say about him. You know what happened? Eventually, even at the risk of losing his own life, you know what this author did? He laid aside his pen. He renounced his atheism, and he received Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Why? Because he saw a man who was truly dedicated to the Word of God. He saw that this man truly knew Christ, loved Christ, and he loved people with a genuine heart. Whether we realize it or not, right, brothers and sisters, our example leaves an impression on others, doesn't it? It does. What you do, what you say, how you love will affect people deeply. And we got to take it very seriously, knowing that this is what God called us to do, to love in ways that will change the world. It's not because of our own human love. It's because of the love of Christ that is so deep within us. Amen? I want you to take a look at the bottom line verse. And before I get there, I want to share this other story with you. And this is such a touching story. I got to tell you, it made me almost want to cry, you know. But listen to this. There's this story of a man named Oswald Goldtar. I know that's an unusual name, right? He was a missionary that was sent to preach the gospel in India near the end of World War II. And after many months, the time came for a trip back home, okay? And his church wired him the money to book passage on a steamer. But when he got to the port city, he discovered there was a boatload of Jews who had escaped from Germany and had just been allowed to land temporarily, okay? And they had been wandering and had no place to go. So they were all crammed in this attic. Can you imagine this? Just crammed in an attic. I don't know, probably 50 or 60, maybe even more, right? And it happened to be Christmas time during that time, right? And on Christmas morning, okay, this missionary, right? His name is Oswald Goldtar, right? He went to one of the attics where the Jews were staying. He walked in and he said to them, "Merry Christmas!" And the people, the Jews, right, they looked at him as if he were crazy and responded, "We're Jews." And he says, I know that, said the missionary. What would you like for Christmas? In utter amazement, right, the Jews responded, "Well, we do like pastries, good pastries, like the one we used to have in Germany." You know what Oswald Goldtar did? He went out, he used the money for his ticket home, right? He was supposed to use that money for buying his ticket back home, right? Instead, he used it to buy pastries for all the Jews that he could find staying in the port. Of course, you know, he had a wire back home asking for more money to book his passage back to the States. And you know, his superiors wired back, right? Asking him, "So what happened to the money that we sent you?" He wired that he had used it to buy Christmas pastries for some Jews. And his superiors wired back, "Why did you do that? They don't even believe in Jesus." He wired back, "Yes, but I do." Think about that. And we know when God calls us to love, it's everybody. We are never to make someone feel low and make them feel so terrible. No, we're to edify. We're there to show them the love of Christ in ways that will touch their hearts. Amen? So much so that they're going to say, "Wow, I praise God. I don't even know your God, but I'm praising your God because your love is real. Your love is genuine. It's a love I never experienced before." Can you imagine someone saying that to you? And the only thing you can say, "Yeah, it isn't my love. It's God's love in me. And I want to share it with you. I want to tell you how you can get God's love in your heart also." This is what the Christian life is all about. Amen? It's about receiving the love of God more and more. As Paul prayed for these believers, he says that it may increase more and more. Don't let it stay the same. Let it grow more and more. And you're going to see how impactful God's love will be upon the people around you, because suddenly their lives are changing. Suddenly they want to know more about Jesus. And look at this scripture here at the end. Romans 13, verse 8. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. "Let no debt remain outstanding except" what? "The continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law." So don't get into debt and let it remain outstanding, right? But except, Paul says, the continuing debt. We have a continuing debt to what? To love one another. Don't ever stop. Because if you stop, yeah, you can run out. But remember, you gotta see that you're always loving with the love of Christ, because that will always ensure that it will bring forth God's power, God's miracle power. If you ask the Lord, you know, to let his love just get so deeper and stronger in your very own heart. And I'd like to conclude with a challenge. Can you think of someone right now? Okay, you said yes right away, bro. I know all of us, right? We can say, yeah, there's someone that I haven't talked to, like, in years, right? Someone who I always been giving me a hard time, giving me great difficulty, and, oh, I just, I grind my teeth at night, and, you know, when I think about this person, da-da-da-da, all this and all that, right? Here's a challenge. Knowing that Jesus Christ, first of all, does the Lord love this person? Oh, yeah. And remember I said earlier, you may be the only one at this present time that can show them what the love of Jesus is all about. Are you willing? Ask yourself, what will you do? Because you can just say, yeah, I will do it. Okay, what are you going to do? Can you give them a phone call? This person who's just having, you know, just showing you just a great difficulty, just a hard time. What can you do right now to show the love of Christ? Because you know what? If we are willing to do that, you know, you're going to please God, first of all. But you know that as this person's life may be changed because you're willing to go deep, deep like you've never gone before, right? So deep that you know it is truly all God. You know what? This person will recognize that. And this person, who knows, may come to know Jesus because you showed them the love of Christ. So this is the challenge. Can you just think of that person and ask the Holy Spirit, what do I need to do right now? Can we just take a minute? Can we just do that? Just think of that person who's just been giving you just a hard time. You know, it could have been years ago. It could have been recent. Whatever it is, can you just think of that person right now and just ask the Holy Spirit, what can I do to show them the love of Christ? Let's take a minute here. Can we just do that? Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And Father, as your Holy Spirit has spoken to one of us, I pray, Lord, as we are led by your Spirit to do something about it, to show your love to someone that we may have not talked with for some time, that could be someone that we've been holding on to bitterness with for some period of time. Father, I pray, Lord, that as you reveal it to us, we're going to do as you ask of us. We're going to make the effort, every effort, to show this person that we love them, that truly the love of Christ that is in us will take over and show this person that they are truly loved by you. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we humble ourselves before you, we know we are able to do this, that we know, Lord, you will give us the strength, you will give us the wisdom to love the way you want us to love. And Father, we know we're going to be blessed in every way as we choose to do it your way, not our way, but your way and your way alone. Father, I just thank you, knowing that as you have spoken to us, we're gonna bring it into action. We're gonna show to this person, whoever it is, that truly the love of Christ is real. The love of Christ is in us. Father, I just thank you. And Father, we just are excited to see what you will do. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you're saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I know what I must do, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will help me. That as I do this, I know, Father, you're going to just be so pleased with me. And I know, Father, that you will give me all that I need so this can be accomplished, so that truly your power, your love, your peace, your joy will reign supreme in my heart. And this is the cry of your heart. You're saying, yes, that is me. And I will carry out what God has called me to do. If this is truly the cry of your heart, can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Praise God. Anyone else saying, that is me, Lord, and I need your help desperately, Lord. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Father God, yes, I am so desperate for you. Father, please help me so that I can show to the world that the love of Christ is so real, so powerful. Father, I thank you for what you have started in our lives and what you continue to do. Bless all my brothers and sisters in this very place as they go out and do what you have called them to do. Father, I pray tremendous, awesome, wonderful blessings will be poured forth upon their lives. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's give God glory.